You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. This Saturday evening, October the 12th, it is now time for our featured guest of the evening, and what a guest she is. A longtime friend of mine, and I do mean a longtime friend, one of the very first people I met when my entry into this whole thing began, Dr. Virginia Abernathy, professor emeritus of psychiatry at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. She holds a PhD from Harvard University, an MBA from Vanderbilt University, and a BA from Wellesley College. Dr. Abernathy taught at Harvard before joining the Vanderbilt University Medical School faculty in 1975. Immigration and population balance is her signature issue. She is the author of Population Politics and her newest, The Vanishing American Dream. She returns this hour to inform our audience about the current state of mass migration to America. Virginia, it is always our honor and privilege to host you, dear lady.
Well, James, it's wonderful to hear your voice. It's always a pleasure to be on.
You know, I can remember when we first met. I was 19 years old, young enough to be one of your students at the time, and it was the Buchanan campaign, and we had a great couple of years in that, a year and change anyway, 1999, 2000, and here we are still all these years later, and I'm all the better for it.
Well, you are, and you had a beautiful fiancé at the time, now your wife. And I remember the Buchanan campaign. I was a delegate for Buchanan out in San Diego in 1996.
Well, fantastic. How about that? Wow. Well, we do share the scars, as we like to say, indeed. Well, anyway, it's been an honor all these years. 20 years now we've known each other. 20 years. Well, but the work still continues. And boy, where do we stand? I guess that'll be the question. We only have you for a couple of segments tonight, 30 minutes, so let's make haste. You called me on the phone a couple of days ago to inform me about a certain matter that needed some immediate attention, and we got some relief from none other than Senator Perdue in Georgia. Tell us what was going on at the time and how it resolved, at least for now.
It is not yet resolved, but the issue is Senate Bill 386. And this bill would revoke the current limit on giving green cards to citizens from a single country. At present, the law limits green cards to single country of 6% of the total of green cards, which is over $1 million a year. And that limit of 6% from one country has been in place for a long time, and it hasn't worked badly. There is quite a diversity of immigrants, the only difficulty being, of course, that many are not very well skilled, not skilled enough to contribute much to the USA. So this current bill would revoke the limit of 6% from any one country. And the practical effect would be to start to work through the enormous backlog of green card applications that we have. It so happens that almost 90% of that backlog of applications for green cards is from Indians and a few Chinese. The Indians, many of them, are already here on the 401 visas, which is work visas lasting 3 years with the option for renewal. And many of them are in the information technology field, programmers and that sort of occupation. So they are skilled, and many of them are here. But the point is that the backlog is almost all from one country. And it's a question that at least needs to be debated of whether we want our immigrant flow for the next 10 years almost, which is the time taking us to work through the backlog. If we want our immigrant flow to be almost exclusively from one country, which would effectively prevent immigrants from many other countries, the Middle East, the Pacific, Australia, Europe, England, to come, because almost all the green card visas would be taken in working through this backlog of primarily people from one country. So that is a question that definitely requires debate. But the people pushing this bill, which includes Senator Kamala Harris from California and Senator Lee from, I think it's Utah, wanted to have this bill passed without a vote, without debate, just by unanimous consent, which is the term for everybody in the Senate agreeing. Nobody dissents, and there's no debate on this rather important question, I think, of whether we want our future immigrant stream just to come from a single country for about 10 years. So that would seem worth talking about. Well, the first effort to have Senate Bill 386 unanimously approved by unanimous consent came early in February. And at that point, Senator Rand Paul put a hold on it. He said he wanted debate. So it was shelved until about 2 months ago, and they tried again, the effort for unanimous consent. And this time, through a huge effort from Population Environment Balance, which is coming out of California, we got a member of Population Environment Balance prevailed on Senator Perdue from Georgia to put a hold on it. But, and most recently, they made another attempt to get S-386 through with unanimous consent. And this time, a Democrat popped up to put a hold on it and say we've got to devote that. And that, this was a,
wow.
This was a Democrat, Durbin, Senator Durbin from Illinois. Well, so
wonders never cease.
Wonders never cease. So here we had a bipartisan duo proposing it, Lee and Kamala Harris, that's a Republican and Democrat. And now we have...
You hear the music. Yeah, you do, as do I. That means it's coming up for a commercial break. So the good news is, folks, we've at least, I guess what you could call this, an impasse. It's not going forward yet, but Dr. Abernathy will tell you the rest of the story, and we'll ask her opinion on the overall state of America with regards to this issue, immigration, when we come back. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, folks, I mentioned earlier in the show, we just wrapped up a successful third quarter fundraising drive. The gift packages were mailed out earlier this week. They'll be in your mailbox before our next show. Well, I can go ahead and give you a little sneak peek. The incentive for our Christmas fundraising drive this year will be some of Dr. Virginia Abernethy's books, and I'm going to go up to Nashville and meet her personally to receive them. We're going to get them all signed for you, so stay tuned come December. You're going to have a great treat waiting for you in return for your support of this show. And we have the aforementioned and incomparable Dr. Abernethy herself with us again. She's been appearing on this show regularly since its inception so many years ago, and she's back tonight. And we're talking about this this bill that she's mentioned that did not receive unanimous consent. It's sad that it had to come down to one person stopping this thing from going forward, but we did have Senator Perdue and then Senator Durbin, respectively, put a little wrench in the operation here. Where does it stand now, Virginia, and what's next?
Well, what's next is that we are threatened still with this bill that would be very, very terrible, in my opinion. I've just talked about the nuts and bolts of it, but the fact is it would continue the very, very high, probably much too high, immigration flow that we have of over a million green cards a year, plus refugees, plus asylees, plus the H-1B program, which often turns into people continuing to stay and their children become born here, becoming automatic citizens, which is another issue that needs to be examined and the Constitution reinterpreted correctly so that we don't give automatic citizenship to children born here to illegal aliens. But perhaps they are legitimately citizens if born here to people who have legal visas, like either green cards or H-1B work visas. So back to S-386. It really needs to be opposed. One, the flow from a single country, which would probably not be a good thing, would tend to fragment the culture of the United States. It's very difficult to assimilate people who come here in such large numbers that they can form almost a colony, a self-contained colony, and do not absorb American values and are not absorbed into the U.S. mainstream. So that's one thing. On the good side of this bill is that these people tend to be skilled. They're here as programmers in large part. But a new reformed immigration bill should, in my opinion, have much lower numbers. It should also do, as President Trump has been describing, emphasize skills, people who can contribute to the United States, people who arrive knowing English. That's very important. English as a second language in our schools is a continuing bad sore. It's very much more expensive to teach English in addition to major educational subjects. And it is a disadvantage to children who are American children who share teaching time with those who are not able even to speak the same language. So I think we do have to reform immigration, lower numbers, emphasize skills, and emphasize coming here already knowing English. And that would be a huge improvement. The number that many people would support for the optimal number of immigrants coming annually would be approximately 250,000 instead of the almost 1.5 million legal immigrants, counting all flows, and an unknown number of illegal aliens coming annually. But 250,000 a year would probably stabilize the size of the population. Many people think that's not a good idea, but here are the reasons that we should be stabilizing the population. It would give greater advantage to Americans, young Americans, just being educated and joining the workforce. They can compete against each other. There is no reason they should be forced to compete for jobs, good-paying jobs for the rest of the world. Beyond that, perhaps most important and the ultimate reason is the environmental caring capacity. Just how many people will our water resources, our freshwater resources, our agricultural land itself support? Do we really want to have cities growing so that the commuting times just to get to a job are 2 and 3 hours, such as in the case of some California cities, where the traffic, a commute that used to take me from my home to the office 20 minutes is now 45 minutes. Is that the trend that we want? But ultimately, the matter is environmental. We now have about 2 acres of agricultural land per person. That allows us to have a very healthy and varied diet, including plenty of protein. If we continue adding people, we will soon have less land, agricultural land per person. That's going to make food more expensive. Some people will have less good diets. Right now, we have a very optimal situation.
Dr. Abernathy,
I'm sorry.
Pardon the interruption. No. I pardon the interruption, or ask you to pardon the interruption, rather. We only have about a minute or two remaining with you tonight. It's a little shorter interview than we're normally used to having with you. When we bring you back on, you come back on with us, say, late November, early December. We'll promote some books. We'll talk. We'll do a deeper dive, a full hour. Before the music starts playing, could you give us could you end tonight by instructing our audience, what can we do to be part of the solution? What would be the one thing you could impart upon our listeners tonight that would put them to good use?
Obviously opposed S-386, and that's in the Senate. It's already passed the House. So if it passes the Senate, it becomes our new law. Because Trump probably would sign it simply because of the higher skills of that Indian group that would then be admitted in such a limited numbers. So oppose 386 and advocate for a much, much lower total number of immigrants, no more than 250,000 a year. And, of course, continue doing what I'm sure all our listeners are doing, which is opposing illegal immigration, support the fence, support President Trump in the wonderful efforts he's making. So that about rounds it out, James.
Well, that's very interesting to hear you say those final words, and that was a topic of discussion we were having in the previous hour, which is, you know, certainly we want Trump to do what he promised to do. We hope that he will be successful going forward. We had hoped that he would be more successful up until this point, but thank you for chiming in and offering your take on that. And thank you, as always, for coming on with us. When we have you back a little later this year before Christmas, we'd like to do it for a full hour. You've given us a lot to consider, a lot to ponder tonight, and we're always better for having you appear, Dr. Virginia Abernathy. We love you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In New Orleans, they're searching for two missing people who may be trapped in the sudden collapse of a hotel that was under construction. Fire Chief Tim McConnell.
We have one confirmed fatality. We have two people who we are unable to locate. Based on our investigation and talking to people who were in the building at the time and working with them, we believe we know where they are.
Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney, is being investigated by federal prosecutors, according to the New York Times. The probe is looking to see if Giuliani's involvement with Ukraine violated federal lobbying laws. In a statement, Giuliani says, "No, he is not aware of the investigation. Nothing but leaks, which has to tell you whether or not they're investigating. It's a political attack. Otherwise, why leak it?" This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
WCBS TV reporter Mark Liverman says police in New York City are investigating a deadly shooting in Brooklyn.
Police say this was some type of illegal gambling operation. They were called to the scene just before 7 this morning. They say they found 4 men dead inside. An additional 3 people were treated at local hospitals for non-life-threatening injuries. They recovered at least 2 firearms at the scene.
The Saddle Ridge fire in Los Angeles has charred more than 7,500 acres, and authorities say it is 19% contained.
We had some flare-ups, but nothing very significant.
LA City Fire Captain Brendan Silverman talking about the work since the winds have now died down and moisture is now back in the air. He says while weather conditions have changed, the rest has not.
These crews are working in some steep terrain, so it is very difficult work.
One person has died from a heart attack, a man in his upper 50s who was fighting the fire with a garden hose. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We are turning the corner, coming down the home stretch now. From one Vanderbilt individual to another, from Dr. Virginia Abernathy, our featured guest, we go to Jack Ryan, our weekly correspondent. Virginia taught there. Jack, matriculated there? You learned there? But were you in Virginia's class? That's all I want to know.
No, I didn't meet Dr. Abernathy until after I left graduate school and left New York City, and then I contacted her, and I just noticed her writing was sensible about the environment and immigration, and I shared some of my experiences and about the real politics of immigration, things that she sort of suspected and knew. But I think I want to credit myself for basically red-pilling her about the facts of life regarding mass immigration and politics of racial realities and things like that. So she's a brilliant woman.
What's it?
But I think I'm the teacher, and she was more the student in this case.
Oh, interesting. Well, no matter how you slice it, it's the Vanderbilt connection tonight.
Okay.
And anyway, so we've got Jack with his intro music, and he always picks a song for a reason. What's the song tonight, and what's the reason?
Okay, well, the other reason is I like the song. It's Casey and the Sunshine Band, Baby Give It Up. This is part of a very short-lived musical genre. A lot of people hated it. I liked it. Disco music is this one. And I like partner dancing, and I'm a good dancer. And this song, it probably had some other connotations, but I use it in sort of directed at things that women and should kind of give up. And you can just, if you got some woman that's a young woman and she's still got some life in her, but she's getting involved in bad politics, she's starting to go the way of Taylor Swift or something like that, you can kind of crank up this music and say, maybe you should consider giving up this this stuff and going a good way, so give it up.
Well, hold on right there. Hold on right there, Jack, because this is a great point and a great topic, and this is something that Keith and I were touching on when we were covering current events in the second hour. So what we've done tonight is we did an hour-long salute to Christopher Columbus in the first hour. Second hour, we talked about current events, headlines, breaking news, things that have been going on in contemporary politics. And then, of course, this hour, our featured guest. We originally had Virginia scheduled for the second hour, but she was at a function, and so we moved her to the third hour. This is real live radio. Everything's in real time and very fluid. So we had to move Virginia from the second hour to third hour. Anyway, it all worked out. But in the second hour, we were talking about how CNN had this town hall forum on the so-called LGBTQ trans issues. It focused exclusively on that. And, of course, everyone there spoke with one voice. There's no, you know, for all of the, they claim to be in favor of diversity, but there is no diversity of opinion at all. And we were talking about how all of them, you know, now accept this sham of transgenderism. And I was saying to Keith in the second hour, it's interesting that all of them seemingly arrived at this conclusion at the exact same time that the media made it socially acceptable. And my point in saying that is, if they really believed it, if it was always true and they always knew it to be true, why weren't Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren advancing transgender issues, quote unquote, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, it was true then, right? Truth doesn't evolve. But no, they only started doing it within the last couple of years. And to your point, and this is the point, so did Taylor Swift. I mean, Taylor Swift started out as this very young, very innocent, very country girl, and she's morphed into this very toxic pop vixen, and she's out promoting every form of degeneracy that society says she should. But she, too, like these politicians, is only doing it at a certain time. If she had these beliefs 10 years ago, why not then? Why only now that the media tells you this is what you should be doing and this is what you will do if you want to make it as a politician, as an entertainer? You better do what we tell you to do, and that is what they're doing.
Well, I got a lot of views on this, and one of my views is that there is nothing new under the sun. So these problems that we have now, in other respects, they've had them in other ways, but they weren't the dominant one. There wasn't society. There's always been prostitution. There's always been adulterers. There's always been homosexuals or bisexuals or things like that. But we had a society up until the mid-1960s where that was considered to be wrong, and we tried to promote the traditional family ones. I'm looking at these Westerns all the time and lots of shootouts, but if you're a little 9-year-old kid watching this one, you think there's no sex in it, that the only thing, they go to a dance hall and some people object that people are having dances with this, you know, this gal that she's got a lot of money, and the other Christian women saying, oh, they're having dances. And you're like, well, okay, well, you know, what's wrong with having a dance? But the real world is that they were prostitutes in the Old West. So, but these corruptions have come in, and there's reasons why it's getting worse and worse. And I can tell you personal experience. I lived in New York City. We'll talk about some of the movies that are coming out that are promoting this. If you got a daughter, which I do and you do, you want to try to promote your daughter to get married early, because if you don't, then trouble starts happening and other things go down the road. And then if you think that, you know, if you don't try to start having a family until you're 37 or 40, it's rough to do that. I like the internet. Right when it came out, I thought it broke the monopoly of the media and things like that. But now the internet has opened up all kinds of vices. So you've got these women, guys my age, they have mistresses from all over the world that can contact them anonymously, and they don't have to go through a pimp or something like that. So these are mistresses that can kind of hook up with older ones. And it's kind of sad, but a miseducated Anglo woman that's in her 40s or 50s, she's not really desirable. She's not a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, kind of summed up what the world thinks about it when he just told Ophelia, he says, just get thee to a nunnery, you know, because we don't want to hear your politics, and we just don't. it's just kind of rough, but it's a big city. But anyway, but the other one point I always want to stress, and to all of our listeners, is that I'm always in favor of positive partner dancing where the man leads and the woman follows. Now, you can get, you know, your Christian churchy, maybe some dances are like the tango are a little bit too sexy unless you're engaged or married or something. But the partner dancing where the man leads and the woman follows is great because they're not arguing about politics, and it leads directly to dating, and it's fun, it's healthy. And healthy societies have good partner dancing. And we used to dance in the World War II years, in the disco year, and now mostly it's just Latins that dance. Black Americans are not good dance. You can't dance to rap music. And then most dancing they do is twerking. So you're dancing alone. And I think if you're dancing alone, you know, you're going to be making love alone. That, you know, that's not very romantic. That's not good for our society to be alone and doing these things. No, teach dancing. And this disco one, you know, I could tell you some of the ones to do. But you got to put in some practice. Our people are good at sports, football, basketball. You got to put some time to be a partner dancer. But yeah, put it in there, and you literally you can sweep the woman right off their feet. She's not mouthing off about politics. Maybe if Taylor Swift had some guy taking her dancing, she wouldn't have fallen off the cliff. You know, like, shut up, woman, just dance. You know, and so view, and it's helped. It's, you know, it's been good for me.
Well, good for you and good for me. So that's the song, and that's the commentary on the Taylor Swift thing, which I think is spot on. How about, do we have a book and a movie tonight?
Yeah, I do. Okay. The book recommendation, the author is kind of, you know, I'm not the one. It's Free Soil, Free Labor, Free Men, The Ideology of the Republican Party Before the Civil War by Eric Foner. I think it's one of the best Civil War books. The author is a New York City, Columbia University historian. He's Jewish, and he's got bad one, but it's just a very honest book about the coming in there, and it presents the Republican Party mostly from the Midwest, and they're honest in that they opposed slavery because they knew that it would mess up independent family farmers, and a lot of the people in Wisconsin were socialists from Germany that kind of came over, so they had it.
Jack, hold on right there. Sometimes in live radio, you don't always nail the timing on the head. So with you just getting into that as the commercial break begins, we will push the reset button and we will repose the question to you for the book and movie recommendations. Let you start fresh at the top of the next segment, and then we'll go in all the way to the house. How's that sound? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, final segment of what has been a quintessential broadcast of TPC. 2 hours of commentary, opinion, analysis from yours truly, Keith Alexander. A great guest to anchor the whole show. And then, of course, great contributions from our correspondents. Last week, you heard from Sean Bergen. Tonight, back in his regular spot is Jack Ryan. And we're talking about his weekly recommendations and his overall theme. Now, I had asked him about the recommendations of the book and movie right before we had to cut off that last segment to go to the break. And so we'll repose it to Jack and then take it from the top, and then we'll drive this thing all the way home. So, Jack, sure. Book and movie.
Okay, so my book recommendation is the historian Eric Foner, Free Soil, Free Labor, Free Men, The Ideology of the Republican Party Before the Civil War. I just feel it's very honest and presents. It prevents the Republicans. It's probably not the standard one Southerners think of it. They think the Southerners, the Republicans, were all these black Republicans, wild preachers, John Brown, incite the blacks and communists and things like that. But most of the Republicans there in this book were Midwesterners, independent farmers. And I would say that they were, we don't want to use really the term socialists, that's taken off a bad name, but populists. And they recognized that slavery would marginalized working-class white Americans, white European ones. They wanted to contain it, and they actually wanted to end slavery and have black slaves freed, move somewhere else, South America or Africa or things like that. I think it's a very honest and very good book. His politics are different. Family's not ours in New York. Now, my movie recommendation, the most popular movie coming out right now is Joker, and I didn't see it. I don't recommend our listeners see it because I lived that life in the 80s. Everything.
Well, that's there. Yeah. Not to interrupt you, Jack. I would just a very quick pause in that I haven't seen it either. Right. I have kids now. I don't go to as many movies as I used to. I used to go to a lot of movies at the theater. Now it's like, unless it's an animated feature, I probably don't make it. Sure. It's like restaurants. Unless they have a playground inside, I don't go there anymore. But, everybody on the right, or at least our side of the right, our part of the spectrum, is all about Joker. I mean, Joker, Joker this, Joker that. I mean, I see it everywhere on Twitter, on the website. So what has got them in such a frenzy about Joker, and why are you kind of putting the damper on it a little bit?
Well, because, I mean, I've seen enough of the roots to know what's going on. I mean, it is accurate about, it's a movie about life in New York City, mostly the 80s, and then they had deinstitutionalized mental ill and just appalling street scenes, Megler people. You ride the subways, you see depressed, homeless people, crazy people, and extremes from rich and poor. They have some racial realities where they get the guy that's getting beat up, the white guy, by some Puerto Rican and black gangs. But the position that they're presenting is very much, in my view, it's the Jewish communist one, that the masses are exploited, rich people take over everything, they don't care about regular people and lord it over. And this kind of the story that there were some rich WASP Christian people while I was there. Not many. The owner of the New York Yankees was George Strandberger. Donald Trump was there, but the rich and powerful people were not rich Christian people. It's depressing, and you want to look at it. And yeah, my view, I was there when George W. Bush Sr. was inaugurated president of the United States. He ran a little bit on a strong anti-crime, the Willie Horton one, but we're living in a place of just anarchy and murder and people peeing in the streets. And I'm looking on a newsstand with an 18-year-old Italian-American and watching George Bush give this speech. And the Italian guy goes, what's he talking about? Is he, stealing the borders? Is he going to bring the military in, restore civilization, clean up the trash and do all these things? And I'm like, no, he's not talking about that. And he said, well, what's he talking about? I said, just nothing, nothing at all. And you live there and you deal with this, and then you got to see these rich elite people. The Bush family, Barbara Bush didn't know what a scanner for a checkout of a shopping center was. So they don't deal with any of these problems that we do in the city. And it's an easy one to just say, well, the problem is capitalism and we need to, revolutionary type. They always have that envy that they do in. And if you want to oppose that, you need something like populism and strict law and order and good religion. But the option to that communist type view is not anything goes capitalism tax cuts for Wall Street and so I don't really want to see that. So if my recommendation is not the movie, but if you're interested in that kind of gritty New York city world of the 70s, 80s, there's a lot of really cool movies that are into it. Taxi Driver is one. The movie I'm going to recommend is Sid and Nancy. It's the 80s. It's about the love story of Sid Vicious, who was the drummer for the Sex Pistols, of this punk rock band, and he had a girlfriend from New York into the drug trade and things like that. But it's a love story, and it just shows New York City. It's gritty and it's artistic in that rough world. And it's Gary Oldman plays Sid Vicious in it. So, and I think it's a better movie. I don't want to give money to that Joker people. I've looked at the writers and things like that, and I don't think we should contribute to it.
All right, very interesting take, an independent take, and not one that I can say I disagree with either. I mean, you're still feeding the Hollywood beast, right? I mean, and not to say that
you're
not every,
the
you know, not.
Beast. Yeah, and it's easy to take the Jeffersonian view that big cities are just bad, and we should be a rural, agrarian, small time. And there's a lot to be said for that, but we do, because of populations, and we don't control immigration. We do have these big cities. So what are you gonna do with them? And my view, having lived in them, is you better pick up the trash or you'll get rats. You better have strict law and order and not let gangs of black gang members, M13 people roam the subways, sticking up people, raping people. You better have strict law and order, and you can't treat your own poor people, you can't treat them as interchangeable with any worker in the world and abuse your poor people and just, you know, sip champagne at the top of the penthouse and just ignore the sufferings of your young people, or you really will lose politics to all kinds of bad Marxist communists. Okay, and you got to look at the people who can compete in such a places. Most of our populists are country people, but you have strong Juan or Giuliani. But you look in places like Russia or Germany 100 years ago, who could compete in Berlin, Red Berlin, with the communists? Okay, it wasn't libertarians. It wasn't anything goes capitalist. It wasn't just screw over your poor people and social Darwinism there. You got to go on that street. You got to compete with these people. You got to compete with communists. You have to, see that your workers get paid a living wage. And I've been in these places, and I can share my knowledge in it, but it's rough, it's brutal. And if you don't get in there, this communist view will win. And a lot of times it does win.
Well, we opened the show tonight. Great commentary tonight, Jack, by the way. Not that that's unusual, but I appreciate it. And we opened the show tonight talking about this great seasonal change we've had. It finally hit the South this week, and the high today was in the 60s. It was breezy. It was cool. It was great fall weather. So how's Chicago doing this week, and how does Chicago compare to Gotham?
Well, I'm mostly outside. I'm still in and out of the city. The best time of year in Chicago Midwest is this time of year, September, October. It's like New England. It's cool. You still get the sun. Most of the kids are off the streets, they're in school and things. So this is by far the most beautiful time of year. It's just gorgeous. The city is not really getting any worse. I mean, we got a Halloween come up in my old neighborhood, University neighborhood, where Obama made his stance. It's a very low crime area because they've got a private police force, but they have 3 years in a row where they've had riots where rough kids from rougher black neighborhoods come in on Halloween, and they base some action on some terrible Hollywood movie, The Purge, where they go in and rob and attack people, including beating University of Chicago students. So we're going to see if it's going to be another 4 years in a row. Halloween is just not a fun night if you live in a city, and it's trick or treats. It's going to be mostly tricks. So I would like, I'm not for a police state, but like on Halloween, a big city, New York, Chicago, Detroit, yeah, hunker down, get out of town and just say, okay, police, do whatever you want to do, have a curfew. And I'm not really answering the doors to people to come on the stop. But no, it's beautiful. It's great. But it's a wicked big city, and you know the crimes are they're the same. They're the shooting totals are brutal. But if you know how to handle yourself, you know where not to be, and you can handle it. It's not going to be you. But life in the big city is rough, and I'm just contemplating another presidential election. These things go on forever. It brings out the worst in the people. So I'm going to go to South America for a month.
Hey, let's stop it right there and continue. We'll let you tell the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would put it, next week when we got more time. I want to hear about Jack's South American excursion. I'm James Edwards for our featured guest, Virginia Abernathy, for Jack Ryan, Keith Alexander. Have a great night. Godspeed. God bless you. Enjoy this time of season. Get out and enjoy the good weather. Go pumpkin picking. Do a corn maze. Do a hayride. And we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.